Welcome to Under Rocks, the show that dares you to tell us what's cool, what's fun, what's weird in your backyard. I'm Susan Stevens. Now today, we stray from our usual northern Illinois haunts to that great state on the other side of the Mississippi that also starts with an I. Now, it wasn't that long ago we put you on our handlebars and pedaled across Illinois with Dan Libman and friends in their annual one-day bike ride across Illinois. And that was just a warm-up, of course. This time, our bicyclists take on Iowa. It's been another successful ragbri for thousands of bicyclists, and a unicyclist, I understand. That's a big relief to the riders who devote a week, at least a week, to making their way across. The ride was canceled in 2020. Thanks, COVID. So the desire to pop the kickstand hit fever levels this year. What's a ragbri, you ask?
The Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa.
Before we revisit an epic ragbri saga that aired on WNIJ a few years back, we checked in with our intrepid correspondent Dan Libman. This was just a few days into the 2021 ragbri, but more than a week into his adventure.
We're about 4 or 5 miles east of Webster City, Iowa.
And where is Webster City, Iowa?
I don't know. There's a Casey's, a laundromat, a swimming pool. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I know that
it's
place.
In Iowa. We start on the west side of Iowa, usually in the Missouri River, and then we go east to the Mississippi River, always to the Mississippi River.
This ain't your first ragbri.
No, this is the sixth ragbri I've done, but this is the first time that I'm fully self-supported and bagging, so I'm carrying all my stuff. I rode west with Skitch Patterson, and he's also fully loaded. And so we left Rockford, Illinois, and spent six days biking to the border of South Dakota, and now we're going back on the ragbri.
Because ragbri is too short for you guys?
It was too short.
Okay.
Skitch and I wanted a little bit of a challenge, and he's here if you'd like to say hi to him as well.
Yeah, you mentioned guys. So, yeah, who's with you?
I'm here with Skitch Patterson, and then also with Stu Gerwick, who's the legendary bike guru of Northern Illinois University, and his son, Max Gerwick, who last time we talked to them were riding their bike tandem over to the Mississippi, but they're doing it a little different this year, and I'll let them tell you how they're doing it.
Yeah, so, last time it was my son Max here. He's with me now. He's 15 now. I think at the time he was maybe 11 or 12, and we were on a tandem, and we were carrying all our gear. And now this is my son's third ragbri, and he's doing it himself on a fat tire bike, which has like 5-inch wide tires, and he's carrying all his equipment. And I'm also on a bike, not quite as big as his, carrying all my gear. So, we're doing it still in a difficult manner.
Of course, because it's just not hard enough for you guys. Come on.
Right. We like to do it the hardest way possible.
What's it like out there? How's the weather? How are the crowds?
It's very hot. It's been kind of grueling on the road. It's been a hard, long, hard days, but we're making the most of it and trying to stay cool and hydrated.
Oh, how old is your son?
I am 15 years old.
Why are you doing this?
My dad's always been doing it, when I was little. And he always says how great it is. So, one day I was like, I want to do it. So, we had the tandem. And when I was old enough, mature enough to do it, I was like, I want to do it. Seems fun. So here I am now.
And is it fun? Is he right?
Absolutely. I'm having a blast.
My name is most people know me as Skitch.
Oh, okay. Should we just keep you as Skitch for this story?
You can just do that, yeah.
Okay, we can do that.
There is actually no acknowledgement or patch or trophy or anything rewarding for the ride from Rockford out to the west side of Iowa. However, the reward is getting to spend 5 days with Dan Libman on a bicycle.
You can cut that.
All right, yeah, so how many times have you done this?
This is my seventh time participating in ragbri, the sixth time riding the whole thing, and first time riding from home out to the start and back to home.
What's been your best experience on the road?
Well, there was some really neat aspects to riding to the west from the east for once, because the biggest thing immediately that stood out was riding into the sunset was wonderful. It was, I mean, that was really pretty. And you don't even think about that when you're on Ragbrai, because there's so much to think about and take in, and it's just such a wild, huge, awesome ride. Hey, Sue.
Hey, how does it feel after not having this last year? What's the atmosphere like?
I think the atmosphere is up. I mean, I think people are very excited about it. There might be a fewer less people here than in years past, but it's not really all that noticeable. All the vendors are there. The excitement is there. The lines are a little bit shorter, so you don't hear a lot of complaining, but people are definitely and very friendly. You know, we're in the bagging community because we're carrying all of our stuff, and so we're going so slowly that we can talk to each other. Where'd you come from? I met a kid who was 18 years old who's riding from Portland to New York City, and we met two people who were from Bangkok, and they're also riding from somewhere on the West Coast to New York City, and they both, all three of them, timed their trips to so that they could be on Ragbrai this week, although they didn't know each other prior to this. So it's almost celebratory.
I had a couple questions for you from our friend Abby, who has who has ridden Ragbrai successfully in the past, and she wanted to know, what's your best or worst church basement dinner?
Handballs. I think it's handballs. What do you guys say? handballs. It's just visiting a tree. But the churches, they do a great job. You know, they get you in and out of there fast. It's usually $10 for a lasagna plate or fried chicken or something. And then they always tell you what they're saving their money for. It's for a new roof or for, you know, to paint the pews, or I don't know if the pews get painted. I don't know. Yeah. It's always something that they're saving. They all the groups always tell you what they're saving their money for. And but there is something called handballs, which I've only had on Ragbrai, never any other place, and it's you can imagine what it is.
Her other question was, she personally wanted to know how many, if and how many times you've cried on Ragbrai.
Oh, crying on the ride. That's a great question. I have cried on this ride, you know, because sometimes it's so hot, you're not sure what you're doing there, and then you you just kind of get a little weepy. And I have also, not obviously this year yet, but I also got very weepy at the end of my first ride when I saw the Mississippi for the first time and realized that I had done it. And it's not an unusual response. How about you guys, crying on the ride? Max, when have you cried on the ride? Every 16-year-old boy loves to tell you about how he cried. So here's Max.
Okay.
So towards the end of my first Ragbrai, I kind of, you know, cried, broke down a little bit because it was so much fun and I didn't want it to be over. And I realized now, you know, this is my escape to reality, and now I have to go back to reality.
And in case you were wondering, our favorite Ragbrai riders made it to the Mississippi with about 19,000 other folks. And according to Dan Libman, Max killed it, even with all those heavy bags and extra fat tires. In fact, Max says he felt very accomplished and proud for completing the ride. Will he do it again? Yeah. In fact, he can't stop thinking about riding next year. A little later, you'll hear more about patches and prizes and Skitch in a story from a live event in Rockford. But first, let's revisit Ragbrai 2017, courtesy of WNIJ, with an epic story of Dan Libman's ride and the people he met along the way.
The first question is, what does it stand for? And it kind of doesn't matter anymore, because after 45 years, many people on the ride aren't even aware Ragbrai is an acronym. But because this is NPR, where you learn something new every day, let's just get it out of the way and say it's Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa. The Register is a newspaper. What does matter is thousands of riders dip their back wheel in the Missouri River, ride their bike for a week, and then dip their front wheel in the Mississippi, having ridden across the entire state of Iowa. The next question is, why Iowa? Well, we do it in Iowa because Iowa is where we do it. Think of it as a giant rolling Burning Man, moving across one Midwestern state like a slow-moving swarm of locusts. 20,000 people sleeping in tents in towns with populations of 800, eating everything at the Casey's and at the Hy-Vee, and leaving a wake of empty beer cans and chafing butter wrappers. And we become familiar with Iowa in a way that's truly unique.
What's with the mustaches? Why is everything mustaches?
Primgar was founded by seven gentlemen who all had mustaches, and they took the first letter of their names and made the word Primgar. So it's the only Primgar in the world.
What are you guys selling?
We have sub sandwiches, watermelons, cinnamon rolls, coffee, Gatorade, shade, free water fill. You name it, we got it.
On the first day of RAGBRAI, I met Jennifer, one of the many people fundraising on RAGBRAI. Along the route, local groups from small towns figure out ways to raise money for their causes. In Jennifer's case, she's raising money for an organization called the Pride Group, a meeting place for people with physical and mental disabilities.
And so the hope is that you'll be able to pave this driveway here and
yep.
Then get a new TV.
That's yep, cool. pave the driveway, get a bigger parking lot so that more families can come and visit. And then we also built a shelter house, so we'd like to get picnic tables and things like that for our residents.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So yeah.
And how's it going?
Good. It's going really good. Yeah. We enjoy seeing all you guys out here.
Yeah, it's a little bit cooler than most RAGBRAI, so maybe the...
Well, we have coffee.
Okay.
The idea is pure genius. Local charities have tremendous needs without the resources to fundraise beyond a small pool of community members and parents. Middle school bands need music stands. Villages need to maintain their community parks. Why not get thousands of new people to come through town, get them hungry, then sell them food? For example, Newman Catholic School in Mason City was selling Gatorade, Clif Bars, and water.
And how's it going so far?
So far, it's going well. We haven't obviously counted our money yet, but we've had a steady flow, and hopefully it will continue.
Were you worried about the rain when it came in?
Absolutely, we were. But people are so happy, positive, making the best of it, and I think it's going well.
Right. The wrestling coach told me a meat mat costs $10,000, a lot of money. But they had an ace up their sleeve. For an added donation, the cheerleaders would give you a cheer.
R-E-D red, H-O-T red, hot red, hot red, hot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are two kinds of ways to relieve yourself on RAGBRAI. Using the cornfield is the most popular.
I need to hit up the kibos.
And the other is using a kibo, which is the RAGBRAI term for porta potty.
It stands for keep your butt off.
I don't want to say that we RAGBRAIers are more progressive than the rest of you, but kibos have been gender neutral since the first RAGBRAI in 1973.
Always were a dreamer as a child.
Some charity groups have found creative ways to harness the unique power of RAGBRAI.
You know, monarch butterflies, their caterpillars have to consume milkweed leaves in order to grow into adults.
Elizabeth is a volunteer with Milkweed Matters, a group dedicated to increasing monarch butterfly habitats by asking people to toss seed balls, clumps of mud and clay with milkweed seeds in them, into roadside ditches.
Because of changing agricultural practices over the last, 30 years, we've lost about 25 million acres of milkweed habitat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So like I said, we need to find appropriate places like roadsides, gardens, backyards, schoolyards, parks, etc.
Right. And giving them to bikers is just perfect.
It's wonderful. We've got people already riding across the whole state.
Right.
Why not crowd plant, as
there
we call
you go.
It?
Excellent.
So, would you like
I'll
a few?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Wednesday it rained on us. What had been an overcast day got scary fast. Dark thunderclouds moved in, and my group found ourselves pedaling as hard as we could, just making it to Swaledale, where we took shelter in a Methodist church basement. The parishioners made eggs for those of us hiding out, but I noticed a free beer tent was right across the street, and next to that was a free bacon tent, thanks to the Iowa Pork Producers Association. I decided a little rain wouldn't kill me and left the church basement.
Riding my bicycle.
In Cartersville, I found Marcus, who was wearing an NIU Huskies bike jersey. This was his second RAGBRAI, and he said it was going fantastically well. He hadn't even minded the rain.
We were in cover for the beer tent in Rockwell.
So you were pretty far along already.
Yeah, they actually had a shuttle that they used, a little pop-up tent that they were going between beer tent and beer tickets. It was pretty amusing.
Okay. What time was that at?
10 o'clock this morning.
10 a.m. on a Wednesday in a beer garden.
Of course.
Got to be RAGBRAI.
Everyone has their own RAGBRAI method. You can ride a road bike or a racing bike. People ride old-fashioned penny farthings with a giant front wheel. I've seen people doing the whole ride on unicycles. Some people carry their own bags, self-sustained style, and others ride a tandem, which is what Stu Garwick and his 10-year-old son Max were riding.
It's always been that I'm the captain and Max is the stoker, but yeah. I think he's been loafing back there, so I think tomorrow we might switch it up.
Is that right?
Put him on the front.
I guess.
Stu is a RAGBRAI veteran, having ridden so many times he had to calculate when asked how many. He's also done road races and organized riding events out of his bike shop in Freeport, Illinois. I asked Stu about common bike issues first-time RAGBRAIers need to pay special attention to.
Always tires. I think that's something that people always neglect.
Okay.
You see so many people along the road with flats. People don't really look at them. You need to inspect your tires regularly, and they don't.
Right.
And you see people come in and like, oh, I'm going to do RAGBRAI. It's like, you're not doing it on those tires, are you? Yeah, we are, and it's really a bad idea.
Oh, my God. Look at them tires.
Big tires.
They are so big.
I got some big tires, 54s coming down the road. I got the hammer down, hear my truck roar. Tires so loud, of people saying, good Lord. You can hear me from miles away. In a mud hole is where I stay. Come and play, but some things are required. Is you gotta have a big truck and big tires.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. Da da da
Because of RAGBRAI's free-flowing atmosphere, it feels like anything can happen. I talked to a Loves Park rider named Jeremy, who told me he had two goals his first RAGBRAI: get a chop from Mr. Porkchop, and to see Lance Armstrong, who often rides a day or two each year, and did so this year on Thursday, along with some of his NASCAR pals. Jeremy told me the story.
I started to get back up to speed, and I heard a pace line coming up behind me.
There's like a row of riders, like back to back to back to back.
Yeah, there was a double pace line. I looked back. I started to build speed so I could blend in the behind in their draft. And as they pulled up alongside of me, I looked over, made eye contact with one of the guys leading the group, and immediately recognized him as Jimmy Johnson, 7-time NASCAR champion, and also the driver that I grew up being a fan of. And he actually smiles and waves at me and gives me a head nod. I give him a head nod back.
Jeremy soon found himself second in the pace line behind Lance Armstrong, half of his dream fulfilled. But they were coming up on the iconic pink bus of Mr. Porkchop. Situated at some point on the route every day, Mr. Porkchop is a RAGBRAI institution, along with Tender Tom Turkey, the Back Pocket Craft Beer Tent, the Amish Pie Cart, Thelma's Homemade Ice Cream Sandwiches, and plenty of others.
We were about a mile from Mr. Porkchop, and I'm sitting there getting nervous, thinking, well, maybe I'll skip the Porkchop today, because I want to keep riding with these guys.
No!
Lo and behold, Lance turns around and says to the group, hey, we're gonna stop and get pork chops at this place. The rest of you guys will love it.
Wow.
So we all peel off as a group into Mr. Porkchop, and I lean my bike up against a tree right next to Matt Kenseth. We're chatting as we're rolling in and everything, and I felt like I was a part of their group.
I mean, that's a real RAGBRAI dream come true story.
The pork chop was honestly the real best part. Getting to eat it with those guys was kind of cool.
And even Lance Armstrong has to hold it in a paper towel just like the rest of us?
Yeah, no one was feeding it to him.
We've all got wheels to take ourselves away.
Over the course of a week biking across Iowa, I ate a pulled pork sandwich to help save a swimming pool in West Bend, paid to see a magic trick from students dressed as founding fathers in Lawler who were trying to get to D.C., bought a Gatorade from a family in Granville, saving money to see Justin Bieber. I know, but I was thirsty. And I ate walking tacos to help keep a no-kill animal shelter afloat in New Hampton.
It's an easier way to fundraise because you can make more money at once to help our dogs.
Right. And what are you guys doing? You're selling...
We are doing Indian tacos. They are a warm flatbread with taco meat, cheese, lettuce, tomato.
Yeah, it smells good.
Cheese. And then we have sour cream salsa. We're selling bars, Gatorade, and water.
Okay. And how's it going so far?
Great so far, but we could always use more customers.
But of all the charity work I saw, the stakes were perhaps highest in...
What is the name of this town?
Postville, Iowa.
Where riders accustomed to being met by Amish pie makers and church lady handball vendors were met instead by groups of dark-coated Hasidic Jews.
And what are you guys doing out here?
We have the kosher slaughterhouse here.
Uh-huh.
Surrounding that kosher slaughterhouse, it was created a community the last 20, 30 years.
And instead of selling power drinks and pork sandwiches, these men were offering something more profound.
We had to find the Jewish lost Jewish souls.
Yeah, and bring them back
to their sources.
Okay, and how's it going?
Thank God, very good. We have a lot of lost souls we found.
Young Hasidic boys stood in the stream of spandex, asking riders if they were Jewish. And if so, would they be interested in having a tefillin wrapped around their arm and pray for a moment? As I was speaking with the rabbi, a large man from Scottsdale, Arizona, agreed.
First time you doing this?
No, when I had a bar mitzvah, yeah.
As I watched, the cyclist repeated the blessing. The cyclist said several prayers, ending with the Shema. When the ceremony was over, the rabbis walked off looking for another soul, leaving me alone with the man from Scottsdale, who was clearly buzzing from the experience. Not knowing what to do, I said, Mazel tov? The man grabbed me and hugged me. I'm pretty sure he was weeping.
Yo amo mamita caminar muy bien.
So why Iowa? At the end of the week, the answer becomes clear. We do it in Iowa because Iowa cares about the ride as much as the riders do. The towns remake themselves by fixing up roads and gussying up fairgrounds to turn them into campsites. And in return, the riders remake the towns by visiting corners of the state which would otherwise be overlooked. We talk to the people who live there, and in some cases, make the place a little bit better, one slice of pie at a time. It's a beautiful relationship, and one I will continue to be involved with for years to come. What will next year's route be? I don't know, as it changes every year. Whatever the route looks like in 2018, I hope to see you there as well. The thing about riding your bike across Iowa is that it's concrete and real, a square right in the middle of the country. You'll be able to point to any map and say, I rode my bike across that. It's not uncommon for people to get emotional on the last day. The first time I finished Ragbri, the tour ended in Clinton. People sat on stoops and on front lawns cheering us. The traffic had been halted for us to pass, and drivers were honking and waving. A man in an SUV held a beer can out his window. I shouted thanks as I reached out and took the beer from him, marathon runner style. While still pedaling, I cracked it open and drank it down, just as the Mississippi River came into view. It was a Bud Light, and it was the best beer I ever drank.
From the WNIJ archives, that was Dan Libman's 2017 Ragbri ride. Thanks to Dan Klefstad, who produced that piece. Let's take another dip into the WNIJ archives to wrap up our Ragbri Revisited special. A few years back, Dan Libman took part in a storytelling event in Rockford, put on by Pablo Corona and his Our City, Our Story project. The theme? Happiness. You may recognize the voice doing the introductions. WNIJ's Jack of All Trades, Master of All, Carl Nelson. We miss you, man.
Really, this is important, you know, sharing our stories with each other and reminding ourselves, of how important that human connection is. Our last speaker, Dan Libman. Where are you at, sir? Right there.
Thanks for staying. This was a fun night. This was interesting. And when Pablo first mentioned this, the happiness thing, I didn't read the message that he sent me very carefully, and I thought he was saying that you had to be happy for 5 minutes, and there was no way I was going to do that. But fortunately, my son was looking over my shoulder, and he said, "No, he's just saying tell a story for 5 minutes," and I thought, "Oh, I could do that." So I want to tell you about. A lot of you might have heard of a thing called Ragbri, which is the ride across the great state of Iowa on a bicycle. I don't think that's what it stands for exactly, but it's something that I do every couple of years. There's a lot of drinking.
Yeah, so I got a bicycle on my shirt,
and there's a lot of drinking on the ride, and that's my other hobby that I like to do. I like to enjoy a beverage of the adult nature and also ride a bicycle. And when you combine those two things, you don't actually get drunk. You get a little bit buzzed, and then you ride your bike, and then you're good again. And so that's why I love the Ragbri. And I did it
this year with a Rockford group called the Fur Bandits, which I'm associated with, and maybe some of you have heard of the Fur Bandits. We ride around with fur on our bicycle, and we give money to various charities, and mostly we're just trying to cover our asses because we're also doing a lot of drinking. And this year, when I went down with the Fur Bandit group, and it was really important to me that we get there early because on the first day, the day before the RAGBRAI starts, they give you these little laminated maps. And for years, that was my favorite part of RAGBRAI, is having these little laminated maps that go right on your bicycle. And you don't really need it. It's not really part of RAGBRAI. It's a different group that hands them out, and they only the first, like, 1,000 people get them. And there's usually 19,000 riders on a busy day in RAGBRAI. Yeah, it's huge. Well, Iowa's big, so, you know, you can pack a lot of people in there. But I went with the Fur Bandits, and they're a little bit younger than me, and getting places on time is not really their priority, so we did not get the laminated maps. And I told myself, that's okay, I love RAGBRAI, and I'm not going to need that map to have a good time, and this is going to be a good lesson for me. So the RAGBRAI started, it was on the first day, and I looked around and I saw people with those maps, and I was miserable. This is my favorite thing. I couldn't believe how unhappy I felt, but I told myself, this is going to be okay, because the endorphins are going to kick in, the alcohol is going to kick in, and I'm going to be having a great time, and 4 or 5 days later, I'm going to realize I didn't need the map, and I'm going to have learned a really valuable lesson. So I'm riding my bike, and by the way, what I learned tonight, by the way, is listening, is that happiness and unhappiness are often very close together. I didn't know that at the time, but this is what I learned tonight. Had I known that, I was riding the bike, waiting for the lesson, and I came up this hill, and I looked, and there, scattered on the ground like a video game, was the pages of the map. It was laminated. Somebody had dropped their map, so I got off my bike, and it was kind of a busy road, so I grabbed one of the laminated pages, and I went back, and I got another 2 pages, and I went back. The bikes are going by, and pretty soon I had collected all the pages. They even had the little ring that the little binder ring that was stuck together, and I had all 7 pages of the maps. And I got on my bike, and I was thrilled. I mean, I literally had tears of joy in my eyes because I had gotten the map. But I was only about 90% happy because I understood that the universe was trying to teach me this lesson, and I hadn't really learned the lesson. I had gotten the map. That was the wrong lesson to learn, so I was kind of miserable about it. But I was 90% happy. I was still happy. I loved the maps. A couple days later on RAGBRAI, has anybody ever done RAGBRAI? Okay. Well, a couple days later, there's something called the Century Ride, where you do a loop that's additional mileage. And I rode with this guy from the Fur Bandits. I'm not going to say his real name because some of you, he's kind of a local legend, and some of you might know him, but I'll use a nickname, Skitch. I was riding with Skitch, and the sound people know him. I was riding with Skitch, and Skitch is a lot of fun. So it made me happy just to ride with Skitch. And we did the loop, and at the end of the loop, you're given a patch to commemorate that you've done the loop. Skitch had never done one before. He wanted a patch, but he hadn't paid for RAGBRAI. You don't have to pay for RAGBRAI. If you pay for it, you're eligible for the services, but the Fur Bandits, what the bandit means is that they don't pay for things. My threshold for getting in trouble is a lot lower than most of the Fur Bandits, so I did pay for it, and I did get the patch. Skitch thought he could talk himself into getting a patch, and he was negotiating with people, and he was trying to trade things that he had in his bag for this patch, and he worked for, I don't want to say the name of the band, it's a local band that kind of has a national reputation, but he worked for them, and he was trying to trade these picks that he had, and nobody would trade one for the patch, the people who worked there. And he was getting upset. I don't know if he was more upset about not getting the patch or if that nobody cared about a Rick Nielsen guitar pick, but he couldn't get that patch. We were riding that whole day, and he was saying, I really felt good about the ride, but I wish I had gotten the patch. Then the next day, it occurred to me, I should give him my patch. Because just like with the map, I had wanted a map. I wasn't entirely happy until I got the map. I have a patch. I'm going to give him my patch. I don't know why I didn't think of it right off the bat, but when I did think of it, just like the glow of my own magnanimity. Molly, what's that word? My own magnanimity. I felt really good about myself. And so that gave me the additional 10% happiness. And the next day I did in fact give him the patch, and he tried to say no, but then he did take it. He was happy, and I had my 10%. I was 100% happy. And that's how I attained happiness on Ragbri this year. And I was so happy that, you know, after Ragbri, a couple days later when he told me he had lost the patch, I did not lose my equanimity. How do you pronounce that, Molly? Equanimity? I did not lose my equanimity. And then he told me a week later that he had met a girl who had also done the ride and she had given him the patch, so we got the patch anyway. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Just so you know, Dan says this year they did not make those laminated maps and the ride went just fine anyway. Laminated maps seem to be one of the victims of COVID, along with the band Hairball. That was a metal cover band that didn't play for the first time in years. Also MIA, Team Bad Boys. They're the ones who peddle with their barbecues and grill corn for people at the overnight towns. We tip our helmets to them all. Thanks for coming along for the ride. And if you know of something interesting, special, maybe even weird in your neck of the woods, drop us an email at rocks@niu.edu. We'd love to come check it out. It doesn't even have to involve a bike. And Under Rocks is produced by WNIJ at Northern Illinois University. All right. Anything else you'd like to mention at this point?
Listen to Evil Xena. Sessions of Studio A. You don't have to put that on there, obviously.
I might.